this glorious that you have given to us, that one of these days we shall see you face to face in your very presence. We shall dwell with you in eternity forever and ever. Thank you for this wonderful promise. We love you and we thank you, especially in these days, Lord. We look towards you and we bless you. Be with us now as we look into your word. May your Holy Spirit enlighten our minds and our hearts and speak to us, we pray, through Christ our Lord. Amen and amen. Now we are isolated. The entire world is smitten with this dangerous virus. And we are in a situation that we can really be compared to an exile. We are in exile physically, but we are not in exile spiritually, because the Lord has already set us free. But this morning I would like to look at the book of Revelation, because the author John was also in a place where he was exiled. He was isolated. He was on the Isle of Patmos for the preaching of the Word of God and for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And while he was on the Isle of Patmos, God revealed to him the glorious Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, in all his beauty and all his glory. And John received this great revelation that all will be well, that though the church has been persecuted, though he was placed on the Isle of Patmos, though he was exiled, he was given this assurance and he was given this letter, this book, to be given to the churches who were experiencing persecution at that time, to comfort them and to remind them that in the end, God will be victorious over all the powers of evil. So I would like us to look at this passage, particularly chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4. I would not be reading every verse. I would not be going into much detail. I'll just take an overview of these chapters and encourage us and to be practical, really, in this time of exile, because there are some things that we can do as we are isolated, so that when we come out from this isolation and this exile, we can encourage each other with what God has spoken to us during this very difficult time. So, in this book of Revelation here, John, we are told, was on the Isle of Patmos, and while he was there, he received this vision from the Lord. And the first thing he was told was that he ought to write what he was given. Write and give it to the churches in Asia Minor. He received a message from Christ to the seven churches. Now, the book of Revelation is an unfolding of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the word revelation means an opening so that we can see what's behind. So the book of Revelation is about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a revealing of Jesus Christ in all of his glory and all of his honor and power. And so in the opening of this book, John tells us that there is a blessing for all those who read this book. In verse 3 of chapter 1, he says, "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near." And so immediately we see that there is a blessing, John says, for all those who read the book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation was given to us not to scare us, but to encourage us in times of trials, in times of suffering, times exactly like we're going through right now. Excuse me, a time of isolation, a time of separation, a time of persecution, a time of uncertainty. We need to read this book and to read all of the Bible. Set aside time to read God's word. And so there is a blessing. And then after John wrote these words in chapter 2, there is this, sorry, in chapter 1 from verse 11 and following, excuse me, there is this revelation of Jesus Christ, the description of the glorious Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. And this description of Jesus Christ is to remind John that Jesus Christ is the one who is all glorious. He is the one who has risen from the dead. He is the one who has conquered sin and death. He is not Jesus Christ, the little lamb, but he is Jesus Christ, the conquering lamb, the conquering savior. And so John was given this revelation to encourage him in his time of isolation and to encourage us in our time of isolation that Jesus Christ is the glorious one. And John was told to write in a book in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 11. He was told to write in a book what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and Laodicea. These are seven of the churches in Asia Minor. And John was told to write what he saw in a book and send it to the churches so that they can read it and be encouraged. And indeed, that's what he does exactly. He wrote what he saw. And so in chapter 2 and chapter 3 of the book of Revelation, we have the seven letters to the churches in Asia Minor. And in these letters that John wrote, the Lord Jesus Christ reminds the church that he knows all about them. All of these letters begin with the words of the glorious Lord Jesus Christ that he knows. He says, I know your deeds. I know your works. I know where you are. I know your persecution. I know what you are going through. And after he tells them that he knows them, the Lord Jesus Christ describes the condition of the church at that time. And five of these churches, the Lord Jesus Christ commends, in fact, he commends all seven churches. But of the seven churches, there were only two churches that he did not condemn. That is the church of Smyrna and the church of Philadelphia. And very interesting, the church of Smyrna was a church that was going through much persecution. And Jesus Christ told them, don't be afraid. And after he commends them, he admonishes them to repent. And if they repent, there is a blessing that they will receive. And so, these letters that are written to the churches at this particular time were written to them to encourage them. They were experiencing much persecution from the Roman Emperor. The churches were not able to gather together to worship in public. They were considered atheists. But Jesus Christ wrote these letters to them to remind them that he knows everything that's happening. And may I remind us this morning that God knows about us, that Jesus Christ knows everything about us this morning. He knows about you. He knows about me. He knows the suffering that we're experiencing. He knows the persecution. He knows the isolation. He knows exactly what is the cause of all of this problem that's happening in our world today, and he knows about the church. And so we should not be afraid. We should not be fearful. Though it seems very uncertain for many, though many do not have hope today, God's people has this hope that Jesus Christ knows all about us. And then in chapter 4 of the book of Revelation, John's eyes turn from the earth up to heaven. Now, I would not go into any theological discussion about whether the church was raptured here in chapter 4. This is not the purpose here this morning. But in chapter 4, John is given a vision of heaven. And he saw one who is seated on the throne of heaven. And around the throne, there were 24 elders. They were all worshiping the one who was sitting upon the throne. Let me read these words to you. Revelation chapter 4. He says, "After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things.' Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And he who was sitting was like a jasper stone, and a sardius in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne like an emerald in appearance. And around the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads. And from the throne proceeds flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which were the seven spirits of God. And before the throne was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. And in the center and around the throne, four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. And the first creature was like a lion, and the second creature was like a calf, and the third creature like the face, like that of a man, and the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each one of them having around and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is, and who is to come.' And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, 'Worthy art thou, O Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou didst create all things, and because of thy will they existed and were created.'" What is the purpose of this? Well, that is to remind John that the church is on earth. He is in Patmos, persecuted, separated, but there is a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven who sits on the throne, and he knows everything that's happening. There is a God who rules. He wants to remind us that God is bringing history to its conclusion, that God is in absolute control of all things, and he is directing history to its ultimate goal. He is the governor of the universe. And so we are here on earth today, and for weeks and for months, who knows, we may be isolated, fearful of this virus. We are upon this earth that God has created, and we might be uncertain, but I want to remind us that God is on the throne, and he is fulfilling his purposes, that heaven rules, and that God is the governor of the universe. We don't have to be afraid. In the midst of this time of isolation and exile, we can still worship him. We can join with the saints in heaven, those who have been glorified, because we are still united with them. Just as this morning we are united in spirit, though we are separated in body, physically, in the same way the saints who are in heaven, we are separated from them physically, geographically, but in spirit we are united. And I believe this morning that they are with us. They are worshiping with us. They are very present with us. So may I encourage you, God's people, my dear brothers and sisters, to continue looking towards him. And so someone may ask, why did I talk about reading and writing and arithmetic in Revelation? Well, I want us to be very practical as we are in exile. First of all, about reading. While we are in exile, while we are isolated, let's read God's word. Let's read the book of Revelation, because John says that there is a blessing for those who read. And for those who cannot read, maybe you can have someone read for you. Or maybe you can get the Bible on CD or audio somewhere and read the word of God. I have been reading his word even more than I ever did before. But that's one thing we can do while we're in captivity. And there is a blessing when we read God's word, especially in times of persecution, because God's word gives us comfort and encouragement. So let us continue to read and read and read his word. Read it. Secondly, writing. John was told to write what he saw. Chapter 1 and verse 11, write in a book what you see. Chapter 2 and verse 1, to the angel of the church in Ephesus, write. He was told to write. So as we are in this time of exile, let us write what God is telling us. Because if we don't, we may forget it. And during this time of exile, God can reveal himself to us in different ways. See, John, while he was away from, before he was on the Isle of Patmos, he never received this revelation of the glorious Christ. But while he was isolated in exile, that's when God revealed himself to him. And so this is not wasted time. This is a glorious time for us to ask God to reveal himself to us in a fresh way. Maybe we only knew him as our Savior. But today he wants to reveal himself to us in a glorious and awesome way. Not just Jesus in a manger or Jesus, the one that we come with a list and asking him to pray for things. Let us see him as the one who is glorified, and he wants to reveal himself to us in a fresh way. And when he reveals himself to you, write what you see, write what he tells you, so that when this time comes to an end, you can share with us and encourage us. And thirdly, arithmetic. When you read the book of Revelation, one thing you will notice is that there are many numbers in the book of Revelation. There's seven churches, there's seven spirits, 24 elders. Read through the book of Revelation. I will encourage you. And every time you come to a number, write it down, because there is much arithmetic in the book of Revelation. And I came up with reading and writing and arithmetic because I was thinking of the school and the kids who are at home right now. And even though they're away from school, they're still doing their reading and writing and arithmetic. And we can read and write and do arithmetic. Let us stay in the school of Christ. Let us look to him. Let us listen to him. Let us read and let us write. But let us remember that God is the governor of the universe. And we do not have to be afraid. Because in the end, we know that he will be victorious. We already know the end of the story. And so we pray that God will help us through this very difficult time for his name's sake and for his glory. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your presence with us. Father, we thank you that you are the governor of the universe, that you are the ruler of all things because you have created all things. We thank you, Father, that you are not surprised by what's happening, but you knew all things. And so this morning we want to pray, especially for all the health workers who are on the cutting edge of this virus. We know that you're a God who can heal directly, but you also heal indirectly through different means, through medicine and through all of the different things that you have given to us. And so, Lord, we just want to pray for those who are seeking a cure for this virus. We know that you are a God who is all wise and you are the great physician. Lord, I pray for everyone who is hearing my voice this morning. May you comfort them. May you strengthen them. May you give us peace of heart and peace of mind. Thank you for all my brothers and sisters present here this morning. Thank you so much for being with us. I give you praise. I give you glory and honor for Christ's sake. Amen and amen. God bless you.